you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord God, just this church community as we listen to the announcements and just saw and recognize the amount of things that happen across this property, around this place. Lord God, I just am so thankful for our church community. So thankful for our family. So thankful, Lord God, for just the incredible place that this is that you have created. And we give you all the glory for that. And Lord, as we just continue to talk about foundations now, I thank you for the foundation that was laid some 60 years ago, that we are continuing to enjoy and continuing to be beneficiaries of. And so, Lord, just overshadow us now, overshadow your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. This is the last time that I'm going to talk about it, this in the sense of the start of a sermon, but I recognize that oftentimes people don't come every week, and therefore you need to hear things a couple of times to get it into your brain box. LMC is turning 60. We turned 60 on the 9th of November this year. That was the actual official starting date or first service of this church. And it's an amazing thing, as I said the last time I talked about it, that we would still have the Founding Father in our midst. And we are blessed. But having him in our midst shows something about the stability, shows something about what was laid right back there 60 years ago. And as we talked about that in our office at the end of last year and the start of this year about what we would do and what causes us to be here still, in the same sense, following the same vision, we looked at strong foundations we have. And then, of course, the importance of continuing to build those strong foundations, not taking them for granted. We looked at the things that we thought contributed to LMC still being here, active and vibrant as it is, some 60 years after it started. Some of the things that we thought were part of the reason that we're still here and still vibrant is because Christ has always been central, hence the Jesus sign. And I just am so blessed that the youth made that, had that for their youth camp, thought about it, created it, and now have let us use it. And it was just a great thing. And so that stays there at least until Easter time as we continue to talk about Jesus Christ. One of the things that Pastor Oxy made sure that we were, and that is that we're Bible-based. And again, I'm so blessed that that is the foundation of this church. What does the Bible say is the mantra that goes into my head every time I think about it. The vision that Pastor Oxley laid, and again, we will speak about vision sometime later on in the year, but again, I was just looking at the chart that we have, looking at the chart that Pastor Oxley again created when we bought this property about what could be on this property. And when you look at that chart made out of cloth, and you realize just all the things that were painted on there and spoken about, how many of them have come to pass. Some won't come to pass, some of them have passed us by, but on the same token, having a vision, without a vision, the Bible says people perish. We saw that obedience to the word has been such an important part. We saw steadfastness, security that this place brings into so many people's lives. Just the creation of boundaries. And you know, we live in a world where boundaries are more and more being pushed away, but the boundaries that we have in this place, of course, around the Word of God. No mission drift. So many organisations 60 years old are not looking and don't look like they used to look. They've moved away from their original vision. They've chased government funding or dollars or something similar. They've tried to become young or whatever that might be. Again, no mission drift. Consistency and realism. You know, what you see here is not a show. It's not an act. It's not some froth and bubble thing. It's not entertainment, even though we hope we have fun. Being prepared to be relevant without compromise. And I've seen many things change over my time here. And, of course, that's a great thing. And just when you look around this church and see how many young people, how many children, how many young families, you see across the platform how many young people that are serving God, loving God, you know that we have to be relevant. And then when you look at the youth and the children's programs and the young adults programs that run during the week, and just again see how they're impacting lives. It is a fantastic thing. And so we just are so thankful to God for our foundations, and come the weekend of the 9th of November, we will have a little bit of a party. We don't know what we'll do yet, but we'll think about it, and we might have a cake. We might blow out 60 candles. We might have 60 muffins for me. We might even have chocolate for you. Hey! Whatever the case is, we'll do something and it will be fantastic. So, hence the series that I'll be running, and of course, most of the sermons across the rest of this year will be around building strong foundations. You won't be bored, because as you dig into this subject, there is just so much there. And again, one of the blessings that we have in this church is so many great speakers. As you would have heard with Hamish last week, you know, just brought an incredible word from his experience and from just the depth of what God has placed in him. All around foundations, yet coming from a different place. So for me, this is number two, building strong foundations. And so in my last message the week before last, I unpacked Matthew 7, where Jesus likened our lives to two men, one wise, one foolish. Both men shared the same vision for their future. They both wanted to build a house. Both men listened to the same divine truth. They had the same person speaking to them. Both men faced the same storm. Yet the two men had different characters. One was wise, one was foolish, Jesus told us. And because of that, they built on two different foundations. And because of the foundations that they built on, their experiences were two different results. So the message that I spoke a couple of weeks ago left us with the challenge: what ground are we building on? What ground are we allowing our lives to be shaped around? Question: are we wise or are we foolish? You're listening to the same message. You're under the same divine truth, the Word of God. And you will face similar storms. Just comes back to whether you're going to be wise or whether you're going to be foolish. So this morning, as we continue on with the theme, building strong foundations, we're going to look at Christ, our cornerstone. And again, as I started to open up this subject and study it, there are so many angles to this subject. There's so many ways that we could go, and there's so many different aspects to it. And again, I just realised that, as Pastor Oxy would say, we're just topping the mountains right now. We're just flipping across truths. But I want you to get the truth. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will quicken His word to you, and that He will speak to you in the way that you need to listen. And so, you know, you might have different tangents, you might have different thoughts, you might understand the scriptures a little differently, but whatever it is, let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. When I sit and listen to the Word of God being preached or people talking, oftentimes there's so much information you can't take it all in. But I always ask God, God, just give me one thing, one principle, one thing that you want me to do. And you can always podcast, you can always download the written notes and come back to it. But allow God today to talk to you in regard to Christ being your cornerstone. There's many scriptures that talk about Christ as our cornerstone, but to lay a foundation, and excuse the pun there, let's look at some of the scriptures. The first one, Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Then in Isaiah 28, 16, therefore the Lord God says, listen carefully, I am laying as in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for the secure foundation, firmly placed. He who believes, who trusts in, who relies on, who adheres to that stone will not be disturbed or give way to sudden panic. Incredible truth as you just listen to that scripture. Then in Matthew 21:42, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. We sang a song about Jesus in the beginning. He is our cornerstone, as you can see. He was laid before the foundation of time. A solid cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20. You have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom Christ, the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In Peter, the scripture we're going to read now, it talks about being living stones. A cornerstone, we'll see in a minute, is obviously the cornerstone of which everything is built upon. And we are living stones built upon the cornerstone, who is Christ Jesus. Hear the word living stones. You can't be a dead stone. You've got to be a living stone. In 1 Peter it says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they are also appointed. And again, we'll see as we go on that some of us feel as though we've been put to shame because we believe in the chief cornerstone. But the Bible tells us that the stone, the chief cornerstone, was a stone that was going to be rejected. Could become a stumbling stone, could become a rock of offence to some. And so, even though we might feel as though we're being put down, the Bible tells us not to worry because God knows where we're going and where they're going. So, all these references speak of Christ as the chief cornerstone, a metaphorical temple consisting of us, the living stone or believers. The concept of Christ being our cornerstone is the very foundation of Christian life, not only for us individually, but also for us as a church community. So again, individually, Christ is our cornerstone. But as a church, as an organization, as a school, as an early learning center, a stadium, everything we do, Christ is our cornerstone. Christ is our rock. And if we're not building upon that rock, then we're wasting our time. As we saw in Matthew 7, we're just foolish builders. As we see so many times throughout Scripture, God uses practical analogies to assist us in being able to image the truth that he's trying to get across. And I want you to image in a minute a cornerstone and what a cornerstone looks like. In the passage we've read, it's a cornerstone that we're being encouraged to look at. It's that rock. And so, first of all, what is a cornerstone? I love buildings. I love looking at buildings. I hate shopping with a passion, but if you take me to the city, I'll find a hole where they're building something and I'll just stand there. Chris knows where to come back and find me. Doesn't matter how long I stand there, I can watch and I can watch and I can watch. Men, do you understand that? Who wants to go and feel material? Who wants to go to the first shop to find the first dress? And then spend the next 5 hours running to every other shop to see if there's a better dress, just to come back to that one shop at the start, just before closing time, to get the first dress. When you can stand at a building site and you can watch them doing some building. That's me. And I think Chris is very happy that I now stand at the building site. Cornerstone is obviously the cornerstone. Okay? It's the cornerstone of a building. It gives direction to the rest of the foundation. It is also the support on which the rest of the building relies for strength and stability. It was very hard to find an image that actually showed a cornerstone of a rock building in the olden times. Chris and I had the joy of going to island about 5 or 6 years ago, and one of the things that we loved was going and looking at the old ruins, and some of the rocks and some of the buildings were hewn out of incredible stones, and there was always an incredible massive cornerstone there. Unfortunately, in modern buildings, many times they don't lay a cornerstone anymore. A cornerstone is oftentimes just symbolic. It's a ceremonial stone. It's often inscribed with wording that tells something infinitely about the building. And so you'll see often in buildings a cornerstone now, and it's just inscribed. And if you go into the city, I was walking in the city late last year, and I walked down, I can't remember what street it was, I think it might have been Russell Street, and there was on the side of a building a cornerstone that actually talked about the school, first being there. Now, I never knew that was the first place that it started as a school, but there was a cornerstone commemorating the start of that thing. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. So those cornerstones, as we would know, or as we should build upon, doesn't happen anymore. And I think that's a symbol of modern society today. We have moved spiritually from thinking about a cornerstone, thinking about needing a cornerstone. And if we do have one, it's just a symbolic thing. We just put a little title, I'm a Christian. Yet we might not be walking or living or acting like a Christian. We've just got this thing that says that we are what we are. We need to have a cornerstone, and that's what we're opening up this subject about today. In ancient times, the cornerstone was the most important stone of the building. When builders began laying the stone for the walls, they would carefully select one large stone. And that stone was then carefully worked and prepared. A stone that would hold the strategic place, the starting point in the construction of the foundation, and ultimately the building itself. And again, if you think about that, they find this incredible stone in the quarry, they look at it, they get the cold chisel, they get the hammer, and they start chipping away at it until it's shaped perfectly, ready to be placed in that strategic position. The corner cone then became the reference point, and from it, all other stones would be set in place. When we built this building, there was a gentleman that worked with us called Graham Alocco, a beautiful man, an incredibly beautiful man. And as you would see, this building is a circle, or it was designed around a circle, half a circle. And so there's a pivot point that we set, that everything that this building was built on came from that pivot point. It's right outside in the creche. It's not there obviously anymore, but it was just a peg in the ground that Graham and I hammered in. And every time we wanted to do anything, we would go back to that peg, to that place. We have a data point. It gave us all the levels. It gave us the radius we wanted. It gave us the positions of everything and anything we wanted. Now, for all of you who are engineers, who understand things, I need to tell you we made a mistake. The stairwell is 25 mil out of centre. It's Graham's fault. The one that spelled his name the wrong way. You have to have a data point. You have to have a place that you can start from. And that was what the cornerstone was all about. That cornerstone that we're talking about became the reference point. And again, you can see the analogy. Jesus is our reference point. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we act upon comes from that one reference point. It was the stone that joined the initial walls together into a solid corner. It was also the stone that determined the position, the structure, and the stability of the whole building. So I hope you're getting a picture now. This one stone. Of course, they didn't dig big trenches. They didn't pour concrete like we would do today. They just dug down to solid ground and they put this incredible, massive rock right on the corner. In short, The very first thing a wise builder did was the selection, the preparation, and the placing of the cornerstone. Because the cornerstone determined the strength of the building, the cornerstone had to be without flaw. It had to be without blemish. A hairline crack in the cornerstone would render it totally useless. As the builder knew that as the building grew, the weight of the building upon that cornerstone, if it had a crack, would cause it to tumble. So you can see why the Bible says that Jesus is or should be the cornerstone of our lives. We can build our lives upon him, and we can have absolute confidence the future is going to be all right. Why? Why so much confidence? Because Jesus is the perfect cornerstone. Not just a precious cornerstone, the perfect cornerstone. No hairline crack, no spot, no blemish. Now, if that's not enough, there's a little bit more. If you were to go to Israel today, the guide would take you to the temple. And as he took you into the temple, he would show you the cornerstone. And then he would look up and he'd also show you the cornerstone. The last stone to be laid is also called the cornerstone. Not only was the cornerstone the first stone that was laid, determining the strength and the size of the building, it was also the last stone to be laid, indicating that the building was complete. The message, the analogy being that until Jesus has become all and all in our lives, our lives are and will not be complete. Something will always be missing. So the obvious question this morning is, what is your cornerstone? What are you building your life upon? As we read in Ephesians 2:20, you having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom Christ, the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in spirit. And we could talk about living stones. We could talk about being a church community together. We could talk about the body being made up of many members. We could talk about us all doing our part. And that's very much a part of building a church, building an organization. But that's not what the challenge is today. What is your cornerstone? What are you building your life on? Is your life going to stand the pressure of all the things that come? The storm, in short. As we look around the world today, we see many choosing things like science. It's amazing how many people have been indoctrinated in school around evolution. And how many people have built their lives on science? How many people have built their lives on a theory and theories without looking at creation, without looking at just the incredible beauty of what God has done? They've allowed their human reasoning to be their cornerstone. And I have and spoken to people who have become Christians and who believe that Jesus Christ is the Creator. But they've just added a creator to their human thinking. And they're now shandying evolution and creation together and trying to make God fit their philosophy and their thoughts rather than replacing their thoughts with God's thoughts. Because his ways are not our ways, the Bible says. Others look at other religions. They chase themselves around the world, sitting under some guru somewhere, looking at other human philosophies because they don't want to take or to sit under the cornerstone of the Word of God. Some seek to build their lives on noble causes, service to others, the pursuit of social justice. As I wrote that, I was thinking of the time that Chris and I, early in our Christian life after Bible college, before we were married, was in an outreach in Healesville. And one of the tasks of being in that outreach was to actually door knock the whole of Healesville. And Chris and I had a section that we were to do, and we went and we knocked on this door, and this man came out, and I can actually still picture his face. And we shared what we were on about, and that we were going to start a church in Healesville, and we'd love him to join us, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he went on to tell us that he didn't need Christianity because he saw himself doing what Jesus told him to do by serving others. He was involved in the Ambulance Society. Nothing wrong with the Ambulance Society there, Liv. Okay, he was involved in the ambulance, he's involved in this, he's involved in that. And he seriously was heavily engaged in the community of Healesville, doing incredibly good work. But that had become his reason for living. And he felt that he was doing a better job doing that than being a Christian. And maybe he was, compared to some Christians that he looked at. But it wasn't the foundation that he needed to be building his life on. Others seek to build their lives on things like materialism, or success, or reputation, even power in government. Wasn't that a great morning last week? I loved hearing Michael talk to us just about his own life. Wasn't he transparent about his own life? We need to pray for our politicians. The Bible tells us to do that, but we seriously need to pray for our politicians. Some people just build their lives on the pursuit of pleasure. I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to do this. I want to do that. Very few people stop to consider what it is that they've used as their cornerstone, what it is that they have built their lives upon. It's worthy of us to stop and to think, what are you building your life upon? Many just keep building without any thought of the foundation. And sadly, many find that what they've built their lives on ends in disappointment, ends in emptiness, ends in loneliness, ends in some sort of pain or hurt. Why? Because they had not wisely selected the right starting point. They had not wisely selected Jesus Christ, their cornerstone. In the Bible, we're told that Jesus is the only reliable cornerstone. In Colossians 1:16, it says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible, things invisible, whether they are thrones, dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, that is, by his activity and for him." God created us to build our lives in such a way that he has ordained for us. If only everybody knew and accepted the fact that we are made by him, we exist through him, for no other purpose than for him. He appointed and he laid the perfect cornerstone. Cornerstone without spot, without blemish for us. Not only for us to stand on, but also as the reference for our lives. And so we have two things that I want you to look at. Solid foundation. Something that we know is immovable. Something we know that is going to take the building for whatever that is. And then secondly, that the cornerstone is the reference. The reference point that everything is built upon, where the walls are shaped from, where everything comes back to. Peter refers to this when he quotes what was written in Isaiah 28. And again, as we reflect back to Chris's communion about death, and we didn't talk about what we were doing, but I love the fact of what she brought in. Just listen to this scripture. It would surprise you. Isaiah 28:14-16, and it says this, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule this people in Jerusalem." So these are the rulers in Jerusalem. "Because you have said, Look what they did. We have made a covenant with death and with Sheol. We have an agreement. When the overwhelming whip passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. They rejected Christ, as we'll read in a minute, and they would rather make death and Sheol their companion. Fancy believing that a lie is going to be something solid, something that you can build your life on. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. You know, when we have a reference point, when we have that solid foundation, the choices, the thoughts that we have, at least we're going to test. At least we're going to consider. The leaders in Jerusalem sought to build their lives the way they wanted to live. They didn't want to live by that reference point. In defiance of God, they even made a deal with death and the grave, thinking that they would be safe from the consequences. Every one of us in this room have the power of choice. But unfortunately, as we see in the world, we forget to look at what the end's going to look like when we make the choices. You've heard the scripture before. It's a long scripture, but I want to read it to you because, again, God sets out for us so clearly what's going to happen when we make the choices we make. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us to bring it to us that we might hear it and do it. Neither is beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we might hear and do it. But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart so that you can do it. So none of us, no one can say that they didn't know or that somebody didn't get it for them or somebody didn't tell them. It's there. It's in our heart. It's in our mouth. We can obey it. Then God says, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. And then he tells us what to do. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments, his statutes, his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of. Pretty good. If you live on this foundation, if you lay yourself on this cornerstone, and you make that your reference point and you do it, then I'm going to bless you, I'm going to prosper you, and you're going to have a great life. But if you want to make somebody else your cornerstone, but if your heart turns away, you will not hear but drawn away, and you worship other gods, another cornerstone, and you serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going to go over Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring, your children, may live. So the choices that we make, the foundation stones that we choose, the cornerstone that we choose, not only sets the pattern for us, but it also sets the pattern for the generations to come. And so you are choosing for your children and for your children's children. Let's not deceive ourselves. It's God who lays the true cornerstone of life, not man. No other stone can be trusted than the one he has laid. And the stone that God lays is truly reliable. No one will be disappointed if you build your life on that. As we read in Psalm 118, that man would reject the stone to their own loss. Their rejection doesn't change the fact that Jesus still is the cornerstone. The world rejecting Christianity, the world rejecting Jesus, doesn't change the fact that he still is this cornerstone. It says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. And because it is the stone that God himself establishes, people who choose to build their lives upon some other stone in rebellion will end up being disappointed. So as I come to a close, to reject the true cornerstone, the one that God himself established, is to bring destruction to one's life. Anything built on any other cornerstone, I promise, will end in ruin and destruction. And we know from the Word of God that everyone will be judged on the basis of what they do with God's established cornerstone, even Jesus himself. So there isn't a greater question to ask yourself: what is my cornerstone? Upon what cornerstone am I building my life? And it is from that that we need to come to a conclusion. Are you building on the cornerstone that God laid, or are you building on another cornerstone which will end up leaving you disappointed? That was the question that Peter was writing about, because the people, the living stones that he was writing to, were feeling pressured, were being made to feel ashamed. And he was saying to them, hey, don't be ashamed. Don't worry about a bit of a storm or a bit of pressure, because you'll be there at the end. What cornerstone are you building your life on? Sky, can we have that song, please? This morning we have a song, and it's called Cornerstone, believe it or not. And we're going to sing it. And this morning I'd like you to allow it to be your response to this message. I'd like you to sing to Christ, your cornerstone. If Christ isn't your cornerstone this morning, if you haven't made Jesus Christ your Lord and Saviour, then I encourage you, come down and see me straight after church. I'd love to pray with you. If you find that you might have laid your life on something else and you're making amends to do that, the lovely thing about God is that when we ask forgiveness, our sins are as far as the east is to the west in his sight. He remembers them no more. We start afresh. We put the past behind and we press towards the goals. I love that scripture in Philippians that Paul says, because Paul was being mocked about being a Christian persecutor. How dare you come and tell us how to live our lives when you were killing Christians? And his answer was, I've learnt to put the past behind and to press towards the goals that lie ahead. Wipe the dust off your feet and re-establish Jesus as your cornerstone.